head bend, what can party woody? Say, Pastor, say something, you know. One young man came to our church years ago. When he entered, he stopped. He said, is this lecture room? You know, we want to deal with our lives. We are not coming here just to have fun. Yeah, we're going to have fun, but we are coming here to make our lives better outside. And there's something you are going to have with you all your lifetime here is your body. So I implored them. I said, talk about living healthy. Just before I came down, I went to the children. But before that time, one of my heroes, one of my teachers in the Lord, I just saw him on the TV, so on YouTube while I was trying to watch the service. And I saw that he was being interviewed. He's about 83 years old. And he said, are you healthy? He said, I'm embarrassed to say it, I'm okay. Because at that stage, you are not yourself anymore. He said, I am busier than ever before. And they asked him, he said, 20 years before, a man of God said, RT, you will live very long, so try and take care of yourself so you won't leave it in frustration. Praise the Lord. One of the best ways to take care of yourself is proper eating. It's not a spiritual topic, but it's a critical topic. Like Prof said toward the end, chew your food. Where is the verse and chapter for that one? You will find out when you have constipation. But there's no chapter and verse for constipation too. Praise the Lord. Let's read this verse. Exodus 23, verse 25. Give us an NIV. Give us an NIV. Worship the Lord your God. We are here to worship God. And his blessing will be where? On your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. Do you know that? It talked about, go back. It talked about food and water first. Am I right? Before he said he will take away sickness from among you. So we should be more concerned about food and water. And they call it, sometimes they call it waterborne disease. And is anything like foodborne disease? I will take away among you sickness. Next verse. And none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. So we want you to live life fully. So by blessing your food and your water, please pray over your food. It's going to your system. Like he said again and again. Let's clap our hands for Jesus one more time. Now, don't be cynical. Won't yet he want you. Don't talk like that. Let's clap for our mamas, our mothers in the house. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. I know that some of these guests today, they don't want to cook. They don't want to. They will tell their fiancé, I don't want to cook before we start. But we can't live on biscuits. Are you hearing me? Your husband may not complain, but let's just stop it there today. Prof will come back and do his job. Let's clap for Prof one more time for having the boldness and the nerves to come and talk to us like that. Hallelujah. My wife was telling me that even the eatery food now, everybody is making adjustments. Everybody. You know how much diesel costs? And they have to put that diesel on all the time. Hallelujah. Oh, of course, once in a while, you can buy something for your wife. Like I wanted to buy for my wife yesterday, chicken. What? All those names. You know, I'm used to Eba, Amala. I'm not. What? Chicken what? Huh? No, not barbecue. The one with leaves now. Salad. Thank you. I'm a bush guy, you know. So I got around there. They said it's not available. So I said, okay, let me get chicken for her. We have chicken. Well, just want to just get something for her. It says 3.5. I said, my wife is worth more than that. So I just got. Of course, next 2-3 months, you won't find me there. or just passing through? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want us today to talk about, last week I talked about marital conflict. But I always say this. There is nothing like car accident. There is driver's accident. The driver not manipulating the car will cause accident. When you see accident outside, it starts from inside first. So relax, I'm not continuing the marital conflict. But I want to talk about the greatest conflict taking place in our world. The biggest conflict is not in Ukraine. The biggest conflict is not in which other country? Hamas, Gaza. Romans chapter 7. We need to have some understanding. Can you look up at everybody? When you see somebody who gets into trouble, gets into trial, fall into temptation, issues occur in their homes, at work, some crisis, when you look at them, it is very easy to say, oh, what a stupid idiot. But the crisis you see outside starts from inside. And they never intended to do something stupid. From the original corner of our story, Eve never planned to disobey God. She wanted to eat good fruits. And she wanted to be wise. Nobody here, on a serious note, want to crash their life. Nobody. But there is this battle within we don't understand. You see, before you slap a woman or slap a man or do something, something will have occurred within you. All of us know that. Romans chapter 7. The biggest conflict. Sorry, I'm trying to open so we can read. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Are you here? For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I don't find. See, people, some pastors don't understand this. They will say, sometimes I go to people, they will say, well, I think come a lot of joy. I think come, won't see a change. God don't want change. Sometimes I laugh at those kind of pastors because they are ignorant. They think that everybody here, sitting down here, you know it's not easy to do the right thing. How many of you agree with me on that? If you think that it's easy to do the right thing all the time, it's because either you have disciplined yourself for a while on that purpose, but you can still slip back. Let's keep reading. Now, go back. You see, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, we need to, I wish you were here on Friday. There's something about understanding human. Many of us don't understand human. We don't. A human being was designed to follow God, but engineered to disobey. I'm using my word carefully. When God made us in the beginning, he made us like himself to follow him. But when Adam sinned, something had entered into our natural makeup that wanted us to do the wrong thing. So Paul called that part of you the flesh. So Paul said, in that flesh part of me, you see, there's part of you that's nothing good there. I don't mean your friend. Sometimes I will say thank you for coming to church. Because sometimes it's not easy to come to church. Even to go to work. Our problem is performance. To perform. See, we come to church, we hear the word of God. Of course, some of us, we are failing so much that you have given up on it. Don't worry, it's just all a lie. But some of us are still trying. Next verse, quickly, let's move. For the good that I will to do, I don't do. But the evil I will not to do, that's what I practice. See, everybody here, let's be honest. Don't look at that Yahoo Yahoo boy. I'm talking about you. That a lot of time, the good that you want to do, if you always do all the good, you'll be a super husband. You'll be a super wife. You'll be a super colleague. If you're always in the right mood, always all together, lovely, all together, worthy, all together, wonderful. Only God is that. Let's go on reading. What is the problem? Next verse. Let's go to the next verse so we can jump quickly. I find then a law. What's the law I find? That evil is present with me, the one who wants to do good. What is he saying over here? Every time I want to do something good, I have to go through the obstacles of the evil to get it done. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, you want to build your own house, but the money is never enough. You want to be nice to your wife in the morning, but you just got an alert that made you mad. See, a lot of time, to go to do evil is easier. Evil is all around us. But to go and do what is good, you're going to have to pass through a lot of debris and kind of a thing, all kinds of thoughts. For instance, it's like you should cook in your house now. You are looking at all the stuff, what happened, and you're going to have to climb all that stuff. So there's a law. Let's go on reading. Next verse. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's why you are here today. That's why you are seated here. You want something. You want to live for God. You want to go on. You want to make something out of your life. You didn't marry to be a bad husband. You didn't marry to be a bad wife. You didn't marry to be a bad parent. Nobody did that. You never said to your wife the day of your marriage, I'm going to crash your life. I'm going to be that difficult for you. And when I die, you become my widow. Nobody did that. You want to be as sweet as ever to everybody? Next verse. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, the thing I'm learning, the thing I'm studying, the thing I'm finding, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So there's a law here. Example. You know, you may not be eating at all, and you are not fasting, and you don't feel like you are not eating. But the day you're going to fast, when you say, this morning I'm going to fast, all the food, Nabi Okuta, starts smelling. Start coming across to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, you don't know because you never fasted. You know, you say you want to do something like this. That moment, all the food in the world. You know, many of us don't understand this, that there's something about us. The greatest struggle is not outside. When Putin got up to attack Ukraine, something happened within him first. That made them to ferociously decide to put the whole of Russian army in there. It started from inside. By the way, every good thing you do starts from inside too. So I see another law in my members. Which members? Church members? No. The members. You see, this is our body, your mental faculty, your body. That is warring. And many of you don't understand this. So there's a warfare going on in you. You come to church, you listen, you learn, you go back, read your Bible, you forget. What's going on here? You think just normal. Let me talk about proper spiritual warfare today. It's not chasing demons and screaming over ancestral causes. You know, while you're grandfather had that cause. You know, you want to know why your grandfather was that cause? Because he yielded to the law of his members. He was always getting angry and angry and angry and angry and angry. And he goes around in the house becoming A-level, got PhD on anger. And everybody's tormented. And by doing that, his son grew up like that to see that. So he got angry. And then, see, by the mid-year of his life, his wife left him. And then the boy had to grow up in that angry place.
And then the boy grew up too now. He started getting angry at his fiancé. And then that happened now. He started doing that kind of a thing. And then the boy too, at midlife, will leave. His wife will leave him. And then the son of that one too. So later, we call it ancestral curse. But there's some other family that had gotten up and the father controlled his anger and pushed himself down to have a beautiful home. That becomes transferable. So usually all this thing, the curse that came upon human race, it was just Eve stepping out. Am I right? You know the outcry of this man? Next verse. Take a look. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. See, people don't say they are wretched. Because if you ever gone through, you know, once in a while, I still appreciate Nigerians. Can you clap for yourself? I still appreciate. You know, this kind of mess. One day I sat down and I asked myself, from my, almost my teenage year, I'm 62 now. I'll be 62 in October. From my teenage year till now, I've not seen Nigeria okay. I've never seen Nigeria okay. It's not Tinubu. Uncle Bere, Okantiwa Tinubu ni. They'll be pushing us. We're right back to the deep of the ocean. Tinubu that came and put us in Nibu. Change petrol from. We've been changing petrol. We've been changing petrol for years. We sap, remember? We never. But I still have hope in God. Praise God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? I'm sorry to say this. I've lost hope in Nigeria, but I've not lost my hope in God. Are you hearing me? I'm not looking forward to Nigeria that becomes perfect. We can't be. Even America is getting worse. UK is getting worse. Putin, China, So I came to see that the world is becoming wretched like every one of us. So what should you do? Now, when you came to Christ, listen to me, everybody. I will get this very clear to you. When you came to Christ, you not only join the family of God, but you join the army of Jesus. That's why when you read your Bible, you go to the book of Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and they documented kings and their wars and their warfare. And one of those outstanding men is David, who never lost any war. Why did God take David and gave him pages upon pages upon pages and then call Jesus the son of David? You know why? Because when you got born again, when you came to Christ, you don't only enter the family of God and love God. There's also an enemy. You are an enemy territory here. And you must know how to fight. Not in Hamas. You must know what you are waging war against. It's just more than lack of food, more than marital problem. These things are deeper than that. So let's go to chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. Verse 3. Paul began to talk like this. Are you hearing me? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not, see that word, we do not war. See that word, war. When I was in those days in Baptist church, I'm still a Baptist because I've been baptized in water. I'm an Anglican, I speak English. I'm a Methodist, I do things methodically. You know, I go to church, and then we sing songs. Some of these songs sometimes bugs me. They're like weakening song. Draw me near. Oh, let's say you don't have legs yourself. I love songs like this. Stand up for Jesus. That confused me because I never see my family. I never see my dad talking about war. So, He said, we do not war. Don't think that this is going to come easier to you in life. Even those who go abroad, they will tell you the truth. If you want to be a civilian through life, you won't succeed as a Christian. If you just want to lie down and let things work out. So Paul said, we live in this flesh, so we are in this world, but we don't do what? War according to the flesh. When I got married, I thought life would be easier for us. It was not getting easier until I woke up. I have to declare war on bitterness so I will not be bitter against my wife after a series of things done years ago. He said, we don't war. We don't fight. So how do we fight? Look at next verse. For the weapons of our warfare. If you have come to Christ here, you have been enlisted in the war. You better wake up. But let me tell you what that war is. It's not demon. Satan. Satan. You know, we spend time on Satan. No, one day, a man of God said he saw the devil one time outside discussing with demons and said, people, what people are accusing me of, I'm not doing them. Are you hearing me? For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Give us an NLT. NLT. Take a look. We use God's mighty weapons. Is that what I want to read? Not worldly weapons. Go back to NKJV again. I want to use that word, not worldly. You see, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? What is a stronghold? Listen, everybody look up here now. What is a stronghold? It's not that shrine at Ijebu Moshe. What are strongholds? If you are going to do your life well, you must know that there are things are against you, not just demons. We are going to see them now. Where you declare the war. Give us in KJV now. Give us in KJV. What are these strongholds? Look at next verse. Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. So there are major things there in that verse. Number one, imaginations. Nobody told us to fight them. You sit down. Without asking it, your mind tells you, how will you survive? How will you carry on? How will your life turn out? You are a young man here. When will I get married? You are married now. Can I ever impress my wife? And if you notice these things, they come in picture form. Am I right? Sometimes you want to travel, you see accidents. Can I ask you a question? Why is devil planting imaginations of your failure, of your disaster, of sickness in your mind? Why is he doing that? Because he knows that if he can plant the seed, the harvest will come. So you must do something in your life. You must cast down. You must take these weapons, the imaginations, the war in your flesh, the war in your mind, and say, I'm not taking this imagination. I'm not a hopeless fellow. I'm not finished here. You have to do that yourself. In your privacy, not only in church. Which soldier have you seen come to the barrack, do like this, and when war breaks out, they go home? This is barracks. War doesn't take place in barracks. Training takes place in barracks. Am I right? Church is very nice. You're not here to fight me, I'm not here to fight you. So don't answer me. But outside there is fight. Your job, your life, your career, your home. So, your very first fight is your imaginations. You wake up in the morning. My husband, I hope he won't leave me. You say, shut up. Will I ever get promoted here? Shut up. Will my children ever turn out well? Shut up. That's the real enemy. Okay, wait. When you go to war, you don't do physical combat. Am I right? I mean, if you go to Gaza now, they're not using hands like that. What do? They take drones, missiles. Huh? Now that's simply means that the enemy is physical. Somewhere there. But trust me, size. Okay, what does the devil fight us with? Imaginations. I want you to declare war in your head. Are you hearing me? You are stepping out to do business. Thoughts are running in your head. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Imaginations in our head. Something bad occurs around you. Your mind is running. Your thoughts are flying. Oh, worse still in the night, dreams. When I was in school, I always fail exam before I fail. When I do any exam like that, before the result come out, I would dream I fail. Or I didn't finish my paper. In fact, it became part of me that when I dream I fail, that's when I pass. The enemy has captured my imagination. Do you know your limits? They are in your head. How can I'm like this. I'm a single parent. I'm a widow. I'm just a teacher. So he said, casting down. Casting down. Don't just let them come in, and then after a while you come to church to come and do cleansing. No. Am I making some sense? Second, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Can I surprise you? How many of you over here, the things you see in church, you are learning in church, life doesn't always tell it like that. For instance, prof will say, by stripes you are healed. Does your body say that? Bible says God says supply all your needs. Do you get all your needs supplied? Huh? The enemy does one thing. He will throw, this is, people talk about spiritual warfare. They are going to the outer space. No, come down to the earth. Barriers are on your way. Attitude, things, circumstances. Now come, but you are too lazy, civilian. You just allow things to just run. You have to stand. Oh, listen. One of the greatest things the devil does is to throw things at you that don't look like the promises of God. Can I ask you a question? Joseph had a dream, right? What was the dream? They were bowing down for him. And for the next almost 25 years, he was bowing down for others. Correct? First of all, the brother sold him. Now, can I ask you a question? How did Joseph surmount that slavery thing? Oh, you are waiting for something to happen. After he was sold, I know his imagination will say this. See you. Look at you. You are stuck. Your parents, your mom died. I don't have to talk about imagination today, but let me explore a little bit before we leave here. Can you imagine Joseph grown up in a rivalry home, polygamous home? The worst thing that can happen to you in polygamous home is to lose your mom. You're no man's grand. Huh? Everybody had their mom, Idigi. Where will you sleep tonight? But you know, Joseph, remember his name. May the Lord add. Joseph never let his imagination, this moment, stop him. The Lord will add something else to me. Did you know what? His brother died. No, his mother died giving birth to his brother. What will you be? There are about 12 of you. Everybody go to their mom. And then you have, this break your heart, you want to cry. You have this little brother that never sucked the breast of your mom. That happens every day. You wake up, you take his the youngest, and he's stuck to you because there's no mom. Dad is for everybody. Where would they sleep? Night, they have their tent. I can see Joseph. Take his brother. No.
Spread the bed. Lie down. You know, it's so good to come to church like this. I'm not impressed. We see like this, and everything's fine. They're going to go to our different homes. They don't look like this. Thank God, some of us look like this. Rather than this, because some don't look like this. The things you have to face. The issues. See, when I see crowd like this, sorry, forgive me, I'm a crazy guy. I'm thinking complexity of the problems. Joseph will come with his brother. But he was doing something. That's why I was successful. He was standing against that imagination. You are finished. You won't arrive anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You study English, not even medicine. You can't go abroad. You're here. What will happen to you? You're 35 years old. Oma kusi iawosi ileosi. But I ain't law. You take his brother. You wake up in the morning. Maybe they want to take a bath for him. We get out of there again. But you know, I know something going on in the mind of Joseph. He was thinking something better. Can I get my handkerchief? He was thinking something better in his mind. See, you want to fight imaginations. You have to declare, well, you are a real soldier. See, Joseph, wake up and tell him, I'll be something. I'm number 11. I mean, you are from the back. Number 11. But he'll tell himself, I heard about Abraham, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. I heard about Isaac, my grandfather. I heard that God had covenant with them. I heard that they were blessed. I heard that. I'm going to take that. I'm going to receive that. By the way, there was no church. There was no pastor. Let's clap our hands for Joseph. I'm talking about today, fighting imaginations. You know, Joseph got up. In the night, what kind of dream will you have? Don't they have kind of dream that you fail exam, even when you are trying? He saw in a dream his brothers bowing down to him. So they were carrying sheave. And he got up in the morning. His imagination was so strong, it affected his night season. He told himself, I'm going to dream better. I'm going to see things in a better way. So he had a dream, and he had enough nerve to get up in the morning to spread his imagination. My brother one time talked about imagination to me, said the word imagination from the word image of nations. You know, Joseph got up and said, bros, I saw all of us at farm. They were all sinners. And all of you carry your sheaves. They said, uh-huh. These guys are looking bad, man. They are ferocious looking. He said, all of you, bow down to me. That moment, you think you have stopped his imagination. Second night, or third night, or fourth night, or fifth night, whichever night, he had a dream again. He did something that was really amazing. He said, I had a dream, and I saw. See, he had a dream, not dream came to him. Many of us, our dreams came to us. You know, you sleep at night, but you see your secondary school mates. 25 years ago, come play with you. Hello, Sissy. Then you wake up in the morning. You don't have a dream. Dream had you. Dream found you. But he had a dream. Something was going on inside of him. He was rebelling against something. He was trying to choose his own place. From the time I was very small, I choose to be different. You are too conformed. You follow everybody in town. Whatever they wear, you wear. Whatever they eat, you eat. You don't look at your life different. You're just part of the congregation. You go to school, you mess up with all the bad boys. You don't see when you go to class, those who pass at the top. Sorry, forgive me for saying this. When you go to GRA housing, compounds are bigger. When you go to Itoko, compounds are smaller. Forgive me if you're from Itoko. There's not so much space there. May your dream be in GRA. With a compound in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen louder. Amen. Let me warn you. Dreams are cheap. He had that dream. He saw 11 stars bowing down. He saw the sun and the moon. The father said, hey, shut up. Are you telling us that you're going to depend on you? Everybody here, that dream is for you. Are you hearing me? Everybody here, that dream is for you. You are a star. And your star will help other stars. Your stars will help your parents.
That's why you are born. You are not born to be a beggar. You are not born to depend on everybody around you. You are not born to just hang around. No, you are not born like that. Because let us make man in our image. After that, I have dominion. Do you know that? Let me help you. When you begin to dream, when you begin to imagine differently, the enemy is coming after you. And you know what? They grabbed him and they sold him. I'm always imagining. That's one of my greatest gifts in life. I can't talk and I'm an introvert. What a bad combination to make you a failure. My family of many kids, my father, I couldn't talk. Before I finish saying something, those guys have gotten their own. And second, I don't like public. So I'm already a failure. But I got imagination and I read books to see things in America that I don't have here. I've always lived abroad in my mind. That's why when I get down there, it didn't impress me because I've been there. You know, when my wife, remember I do this, when my wife went to campus, they see when I just start courting my wife, they tell my wife, that's your American guy, you know? Americans brought me up. I got born again through an American, not a Nigerian. That's why I'm different. So all this abroad you are going to, okay, get the buildings. I've already gotten all that stuff. The books, I got tons of books. I don't live there. My children said, Daddy, you're not a Nigerian. Before phone came, I told my wife, phone is coming. That you carry like this in your hand. Huh? I live in my imagination. Now, I have a new level of imagination now. I'm no longer imagining for myself. I'm imagining for your life. I believe you can go further. I believe you can do better. And I'm not going to stop until you turn out your best. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. I've determined to lay down my life here to see that your life turns out one way or the other. And I'm seeing some result already. I'm happy. But it's not yet fully Uhuru. Are you hearing me? Let me shut up. One of your greatest enemies when it comes to imagination is what people will do to you. They told Joseph, come along with us. They sold him. Thoughts invaded, see that word, thought again. Thoughts. Invaded his mind. What's going to happen to you now? What's going to do with your life now? But many of you are battling wrong thoughts. See, you have to go first of all imagination before you come to thoughts. This is how I learned this years ago. When I was in my 40, I started feeling I'm going to die. I stand against spirit of death, spirit of untimely death, spirits. Then I came to see that, why am I fighting death so much? Imagine you're going to be alive. Huh? If you're going to be alive, what will you be doing? So I took my barrow and began to write down what I would do with life. And then the thought of death stopped. It was like as if there was a vacuum. There was darkness. And when I brought in light, Bobo, I was spirit of untimely death from my father's ancestors. Just left. I want to implore you, ladies, gentlemen here, start working on your imagination. Some of you over here now, you are doing quite well now, but your imagination is telling you, just slam down. Just calm down. Just sit down, man. You are doing well. Okay, go and drink beer. Then you take your car. See, your imagination is firing you. You go down there, then you see one girl there. I like you. I like you too. Your mind says, ah, Kilele. Yeah. Enter car. And all the way home, you are imagining your wife will find you. Didn't find you. You know what? So, my feet are doing well now. You need to step up in your imagination. You have built your house, right? You live in your house now. Huh? What next? Come on, Jim. Come on, son. Come on now. Who owned that? If you didn't hear anything today, you hear this one. Your imagination. Your imagination. Do you know what? In my imagination, I don't see my children taking care of me. because I will not be a burden. I'll be a blessing. How do you imagine that? How do you imagine that I'll get better in this country? Can I surprise you? I kept on imagining things getting better. My best years, not tomorrow. Looking back, my best years were under Buhari. Things I did under Buhari, I didn't do. Remember things we did under Buhari? Pastor, what things? None of your business. Tell somebody beside you, step out in your imagination. Oh, glory to Jesus. So number one, start fighting those imaginations that are not letting you go somewhere. Stop removing the limits in your thinking patterns. I want to plead with you. Start that war first. I was told that those who are sick, sometimes they get better by their imagination. When they start removing that sickness in their mind. See, when you start, I'm sick. There's somebody we were praying with one time. We were praying with all our heart and was planning for death. Who can do, anything? Hallelujah. Casting down what? Imaginations, first of all. Can I start, give you an assignment? Start imagining good about people now. What do I say? You come to church, you sit down beside somebody, just say this in your heart. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. Then your mind says, look, shut up, I'm a blessing. Do that right now to that person next to you. Send some beautiful imaginations to them. Wish them the best. Wish them the good. I'm obviously, I'm not doing anything. So start doing your portion. Just stop. Now, can you just close your eyes and take their hand and say, Father, bless them. Father, increase them. Father, help them to overcome in their imaginations. Lord, strengthen him. Strengthen her. That the difficulties become a place of discovery. That they will discover. They will discover through their difficulties. Oh, come on. Do that for them. They will discover through their difficulties. They won't just enter despair through their difficulties. Pray for possibilities to well up in their imaginations. Now, together, let's stand against barriers, 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 barriers. We come against barriers. We come against barriers. Strongholds, barriers, barriers, barriers. Educational, physical, psychological, emotional. We come against barriers. As you hold your hand, tell yourself, we regain freedom. We regain freedom. We regain freedom in every aspect of our life. We regain freedom. We regain freedom. To be our best, to do our best, and to have the best. Tell yourself, I seize my imagination to work for God, to work for my good. I'm a soldier. And I'm fighting against pulling down this wrong imaginations. Can you stop a minute? All of us have, I'm dealing with something, this is spiritual warfare. All of us have what I call peculiar negatives in our life. Maybe a peculiar anger, peculiar laziness, peculiar things that is formed in our imagination that we just rely, it's our bed we lie on. Now, can you just stand up and say, Lord, every peculiar negative imaginations, I come against it in my brother's life, in my sister's life. Lord, we bring the Spirit of God to bear upon those places. Our weapons of our warfare. Bring against them in the name of Jesus. Negative thought patterns that go on and 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 on. Even when things are good, you don't see that. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sorry for taking our time. Let's do that before we go to the next thing. Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Let's do some work here before we leave. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Allow me for a few minutes. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Take a look. We want to do something about this area. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. What is he crying? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Many of us, our trouble is this. God wants to get across to us, but it's difficult for him to come because he has to come this way, go that way, avoid that one, and come this way because he can't come straight in our lives. Things devil have planted, people have planted, issues, imaginations, thoughts. Look at next verse. Every valley shall be exalted. You see, that valley where the devil has pushed you down, thoughts have pushed you down, things you have sinned against yourself. And every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places have been made things that are black barriers that can't help me see the future. Those things I have to descend into and hinder me from running my way. Well, Lord, I want to give you free of way in my life. All the crooked paths, I bring straightness to them in the name of Jesus. Crooked path, thought patterns. Hallelujah. In the area of marriage, in the area of finance, in the area of parenting, in the area of my spiritual life. All the mountainous imaginations, all the valley imaginations, all the crooked imaginations, all the perverted imaginations, I declare war on you today. You are not the victor, and I'm no longer the victim. I'm no longer the victim of my thoughts. I'm no longer the victim of my imaginations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands? I want you to sing this song, mainly from your heart. It says, glory be to God in the highest. His glory will appear. Glory concerning my life, concerning my future and my family. The glory will be yours, Father. I will have enough mercy for your mercy. I will have abundance of mercies. Glory, glory. One more time, glory.
Glory be to God in the highest.
Tell yourself, glory is my story. The glory of God shall be my story. The glory of God, his mercies, his mercies, his compassions, they will manifest in my life. Shame cannot be my conclusion. The glory of God, even in my struggles, in my pain, even in the things that I've not yet seen, the glory will go to God. Jesus said, this sickness, it's not unto death, but unto the glory of God. This your struggle, this your pain, even this your good thing will wind up in the glory of God. The glory of God. Tell yourself, I embrace the glory of God. I embrace the glory of God. I embrace the glory of God. Oh, one more time. I embrace the glory of God. Tell yourself, my story is glory. My story is glory. Somebody clap your hands for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You know why I came to preach this today? You know why I came to preach today? Because you are around the middle of your life. You're not yet at the end of your life. And if you have found the glory quite early, it'll be glorious. Abraham stood by the glory. There was no child for 25 years. Isaac was in the midst of famine. Jacob spent 20 years in slavery to his in-law. But he stood for the glory. Tell yourself again, the glory of God shall be my portion in life. The glory of God will be the final outcome. Say that from your heart. Say that from your heart. I want to say those words before the Lord today. I don't care what you are facing. I don't care what's happening. I don't care how good things are. The glory of God. The glory of God. People will look at my life and give the glory to God in my story. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Can you clap those hands for the Lord Jesus? I know after we gather that building now, this building will go, we may not see any apparent change, but the glory is beginning. It's beginning. I told you about Joseph. How he had to take his brother to go and sleep at home by himself. But you know where he wound up? The prime minister of Egypt. You're not going to be prime minister of Uganda. But at least you'll be the prime of your life. You'll be a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm praying for you every day. You can count on my prayers. And I know God wants you to succeed. And I also want you to do well. The battles in your life, the imaginations, they're going to give way because you are going to be soldiers. And you know, soldiers get promoted. Privates, then captain, then lieutenant, then general. So that by the end of your life, you have stars. Praise God, somebody. Tell your somebody beside you, my life shall be glorious. We're going to give our pastor's offering now while the choir are coming up. We're going to sing quickly and get out of here, so that bear with us. But I hope I have struggled to get something across this morning. Can you tell somebody, don't despair over your life. Don't look down on yourself. God has not finished with you yet. God's going to do much more with your life than you can ever think possible. Just take hold of your imagination. Tell him, stand against those wrong imaginations. Tell him again, stand against those wrong imaginations. That is not your own. That's not your own. The Father has something better for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray over our pastor's offering. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We give to our pastors. We be blessing to them. Thank you, Lord, for helping them to be their best in our lives. Listen to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give. Why the choir sing.